We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a wonderful Wednesday right here in Brevard County, and we thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. Yesterday I talked about praising the Lord. Why don't we just take a moment and say thank you, Jesus, you know, for Christian radio, Christian television, all of the wonderful Christian resources that have been provided to us in this day and time for such a time as this so that we can be more effective. So I want to invite you out to our vintage worship service today at 11 a.m. We will be meeting 165 North Grove Street. We are two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We sit right in between Tropical Trail and Courtney Parkway, and right in between Merritt Avenue on the north and 520 on the south. So if you shoot for the center of those four roads, you will find Merritt Assembly of God, and we'll be meeting today and having a great time celebrating the goodness of the Lord. So I want to give a shout out to our sponsors today. First of all, I'd like to remind you about Advanced Christian Training Schools, free video Bible school. It meets in our fellowship hall Tuesday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. This is not a part of Merritt Assembly of God. It just meets at our facility. But if you have more questions about getting involved, you can reach Ted and Linda at 633-0432. Also, want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, 632-9538. If you need help with your air conditioning, heating, or electrical repairs, you can reach Carla and Dennis there at Wyrick Air. Also, Jits Concrete. This is the time of year that if you want to do some outside work, this is the time of the year to do it when it's not quite so hot. You could reach Greg at 536-5804. Greg and his family, they are one of the few people who've been at Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. There's about four people that still attend that were at Merritt Assembly of God before I got there, and they're still with us. And so they will do a great job. They've blessed us through the years as well. And then also, Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. If you need something here on Merritt Island, that's Bill Andriak. And Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. So we've been doing this study. We're going to wind up on Friday of this week about the names of God, revealing the nature of God. And this all started as a part of the study on the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And we're thankful that God reveals his nature to us, because the devil will lie about God's nature. And he will try and convince us that God has evil intent for us instead of good. And the devil will also lie to you and tell you there are no consequences to sin, when God tells you what the blessings and the consequences are, the blessings for obedience and the consequences for disobedience. And so I want to thank God. You know, God is an honest God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so God is very honest about that. And I'm thankful, because when he says what the result that the devil is going to incur for all of the damage he has inflicted upon his saints, I'm thankful that he is going to do that. I don't have to worry about vengeance on my part. Vengeance belongs to him, saith the Lord. And so that's holy. I don't want to touch it. So anyway, that's what we want to have been talking about. We're going to be finishing this up. I want to talk to you today. There is a person that is mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And in verse number 19. Well, I'll start reading with verse number 18. It's just a few words. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelomith was the first. Of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah was the first, Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, and Jokameam the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micah was the first, and Jeshiah the second. I want to talk to you today a little bit about that guy in verse number 19, the firstborn of Hebron, and his name was Jeriah, J-E-R-I-A-H, Jeriah. And what Jeriah means is God sees. God sees, because there's a lot of times that the devil will try and convince you that God is oblivious to what is going on in your life, that he doesn't pay attention to your sin. He doesn't pay attention to the suffering that is going on in your life. And I want you to know that that just is not true. In fact, God pays such attention to you that the scripture says he has numbered the hairs on your head. So every morning when you are brushing your hair, every morning when you're in the shower there, and there's a transaction in the number of hairs that is going on the top of your head. And I like to tell the ladies, he even knows the natural color of your hair. And and now I should say that to men too. I haven't done the Grecian formula thing. My hair is getting the fender, chrome on the fenders, as the guy who does my hair likes to say. So he pays attention to that. So every morning where there's a transaction, he knows. And you say, how could God know there's 7 billion people on the planet? That's how big he is, how awesome he is. You see, he is not just God. He wants to be your God. He wants to be the God of your life. And so he knows your height. He knows your weight, in spite of what you might put down on the medical form. He knows every detail about your life. It says that he even knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Jesus, when he was ministering, it said he did not commit himself to people because he knew what was in their heart. He knew who it was that would betray him. He knew whether or not people had belief in him. He knew when the power of the Lord was present to heal. He knew when people had faith and when they had doubt. He knows people. He wants to know us intimately. In the scripture, the concept of knowing is not just an intellectual appreciation of the facts, but it is a knowledge that involves the entirety of our being. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. And so when the enemy comes in and tells you that God is not paying attention to you, there's this guy by the name of Jeriah who most people just gloss over when they're reading through the list of names in 1 Chronicles there. I mean, it's not an exciting list. It's a genealogical list. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, there's this guy by the name of Jerry. If I can shorten, there's a guy by the name of Jerry, and he says, I want to remind you that God sees you. He sees you as you really are. When I do premarital counseling, I tell people that there are a lot of different people in the marriage. There is the husband as he sees himself. There's the husband as the way that he wants, or the husband as the way that he really is. There's the way that the wife sees the husband, and there's the way that they both want to be perceived. There's the reality, there's the perception, and there's the projection. And so there can be a lot of different realities going on there. But the thing is, God is aware of all of the facts. He's not looking to masquerade or anything like that. a little while ago, we were watching something, and my wife and daughters were having this discussion because there was this person that just looked like they just had muscles upon muscles upon muscles. And my daughter, who's a stage manager at the university that she goes to, she says, you can make those muscles just with contoured of different colors makeup and everything. And my wife's like, no. And it's like, yeah, you really can. And my other daughter said, yeah, Mom, you really can. And it's a lot of people are more concerned with the projection that they have so that they get people to perceive them in a way which is not actually reality. That's one of the problems that tends to take place whenever a couple is transitioning from a dating and engagement situation, and then they transition into the marriage relationship, is that there's been the projection of putting the right foot forward and making sure that you're seen in all the right light, and then, you know, everybody would go home. It's, you know, I kind of do this thing of, you know, whenever somebody's looking at me and I want to impress them, I just suck in my stomach real as much as I can and puff out my chest, and I just try and hold that for as long as I can. And then when they finally turn away, I just go and let everything return back to normal. And then when you get married, all of a sudden you don't have those spaces to retreat to. And now you are not faced with dealing with just the projection. Now you're faced with dealing the reality. And we need to remember at that point in time that God wants us to deal with the reality. God sees us as we really are. He sees us when we are suffering. He sees us when we're hurting. He sees us when we're victorious. One of the things that I always get a chuckle about when I read through the Old Testament is it talks about the children of Israel. What they would do when they were worshiping their idols is they would go underneath a tree. They would hide underneath a tree in the dark on a mountain because they thought a high place was a holy place, and they would worship their gods. And it's like, do you not think that I can see you, the God who created the light and created the darkness? Do you not think that I can see you? I want you to know that God had infrared technology long before man had he had thermal imaging long before man had thermal imaging. In fact, he goes beyond any technical expertise that the medical community have. He not only goes in and can see what is going on physically on the inside, but he knows why it's going the way that it is. So I want to take you this morning to a story in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 16. While you're turning there, I will just tell you that there is a song that just theologically drives me crazy. It's not a Christian song. It was a song. It's got a beautiful melody. The lady who sings it has a beautiful voice. Is a wonderful, wonderful singer. And but the basis from it all is completely erroneous, and it's a song that Bette Midler sings, and it's called God is Watching from a Distance. And if you listen to the lyrics, it talks about from a distance everything looks peaceful and calm, but when you get up close, when you zoom in from outer space, all of a sudden you see the wars and the famines and the sickness and the heartache and the suffering and the pain and the conflict and the famine and all of the ugliness of life. And if you're God and you're watching from a distance, everything just looks so harmonious. But down here, we're all messed up. And God, why don't you just come down here and fix this up? And I want to remind you that God is the God who sees, just like the name Jeriah mentions. God sees. So let me take you to Genesis chapter 16. And verse number 5, and it said, then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lehi Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about Sarai, because up until this time, Sarai and Abram had had no children. And you can see they're getting on up there in years. Abram's 86. That means Sarai was 76. And they have not had any children. And that was a bad condition to be in those days. That was looked upon as a curse. I want you to know that in today's day and time, God is looking for us to produce spiritual children. You may not have biological children, but do not let that hinder you from producing spiritual children. If you've got young people in your church, rally around those kids. There are so many kids without fathers in their lives. There are so many kids that come from broken homes. There are kids that are completely and totally ignored, and they need spiritual fathers. So I encourage you to be a spiritual parent or grandparent. We've got some people in our church, and it is just amazing. I've seen them with my own kids. You know, that they said, hey, you know, they're seasoned Christians, upstanding, outstanding men and women of God. And they would make a deliberate effort to get to know them. There is one couple, and when they first started coming to the church, and my youngest daughter, not always the most outgoing personality when it comes to meeting new people. And so these people said, you know what? That's the pastor's daughter over there. And we're going to go over there and we're going to talk to her and find out what's going on in her world. And then when my other daughter came home from college, they pour themselves in to giving kids role models, positive role models in the household of faith. Paul said, you know, you may not have a lot of spiritual fathers. And so we need to change that. We need spiritual fathers. Well, what happens when Hagar conceives is with Sarai, all of a sudden, it is evident that the problem is not with Abram. The problem is with Sarai. I believe that Sarai's motivation was to remove the disdain from her own life and say, well, we don't know if the problem's with me. We don't know if the problem's with Abraham, but there's a couple of different attempts we've made to produce children, offspring for him. And so the problem is more than likely with him. But it turns out that the problem was with her. How many times do we want to point the finger at other people and say the problem is theirs? You know, it was the problem. It was my first husband's problem, my second husband's problem, my fifth husband's problem, and the question I want to ask: well, what was yours? You know, whether it was a husband, a wife, whatever it might be, what was your role in the situation? Because a lot of times, while we are thinking that the other people may be the problem, sometimes the problem is with us. And so when Hagar conceives, all of a sudden there is a great deal of tension between Sarai and Hagar. And Hagar decides that she is going to run away because of the mistreatment that she is receiving. I never condone mistreatment. Do not think that this passage of Scripture is condoning mistreatment. That is not the case at all. That is not the case at all. This was positioning Ishmael so that he would have his formative years around his father. And Abram really loved Ishmael. In fact, when a time came that God said that he was going to send Isaac, Abram said, you know, that Ishmael might live under your blessing. And God said, Ishmael is going to be blessed. Why? Because he's your son. But my covenant is going to be with Isaac. And so I just want to let you know that being blessed is great. Walking in covenant is even better. It's phenomenal. And so Hagar runs away. She finds a spring of water in the wilderness, and the angel of the Lord finds her. He knew exactly where she was at. And so the angel of the Lord asks her a question. He begins to inquire about things in her life. And he says, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. I'm fleeing from the mistreatment. I'm fleeing from my problem. But where are you going? Where are you going? Today, every one of us has got a past and we also have a future. And God knows every one of those days. He knows the days that he has created for us. Every one of us has an appointment with him in eternity. Every one of us has a past that we need to put under the blood, and we have a future that we need to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the angel hears where she comes from, and he said, well, let me tell you where I need you to go. He said, I need you to return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Live under her mission. And I don't know how old Hagar was at this point in time, but I'm sure there was a drastic difference in their ages. But and there was eventually going to be a parting between Sarah and Hagar, but now was not the time. Now was not the time. And so he said, I need you to go back. And then he gives her a promise. And this is where he says that she is going. I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And wow, to a single mom, what a promise. That if you will go back, if you will walk in obedience to me, I am going to increase your descendants to where they can't even be counted. Today, you may be in a situation that your current status looks absolutely, totally bleak. It looks like you are going to make no kingdom impact, no impact on the world, no impact on your family. And God today says, if you will live under my plan, if you will live under my direction, if you will recognize that I've seen you, I found you, and I'm now sending you on your way. I'm giving you the instructions you need. If you will do life my way, you're going to change the world. You're going to change the world. And so the angel of the Lord continued speaking to her, and it says, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He had not only seen, he had heard. That same characteristic was known of God when he saw the children of Israel in Egypt. He saw their misery and he heard their complaining. And he tells a little bit about Ishmael's destiny. In verse number 13, it says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. Jeriah means God sees. And there in the middle of the wilderness, a mother, a pregnant unwed mother, had an encounter with the living God. And she said, you see me. Today, even though I cannot see you through the radio, I want to declare to you today that God does see you. that God does see you. And I pray that it has such an effect, that that revelation has such an effect upon you, that God sees you, knows you, cares for you, loves you in spite of your circumstances, in spite of your flaws, in spite of your problems, that that you will be able to go in the power of God's love and live a life knowing that he sees you. It says, have I also here seen him who sees me? I was in my devotions this morning, and I was reading in the book of Acts, and I had there was a passage, and I'd talked about that before, but verse number 16 of Acts 26, Paul is recounting his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And here he says, Jesus said to him, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Okay. Now that those are the words of Jesus. And what a marvelous testimony. He says, I knew where you were. I have appeared to you myself, so that you could know that that you have seen me, that you have encountered me. All of a sudden, it was a breakthrough revelation. Paul should be a great encouragement to all of us who have people who are hostile to the faith, that Jesus knows exactly where they're at, knows exactly the words that need to be spoken to them so that their eyes are open to the reality of Jesus. And so there, he said, you are going to testify, you're going to be a witness of the things which you have seen. And that's always been marvelous. But can I give you something to shout about today? And it says, it did not stop of the things which you have seen. It goes on and it says this, and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And that means that the God who sees knows also where we're going to be, and he is going to reveal even greater things. Listen, heaven is going to be a tremendous, unending unveiling of the wondrous God that we serve. He is going to continue to take us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He is going to continue to reveal himself. There are things that at certain times we weren't able to bear up, but he's going to bring us to that place where he can say, you know what? I see you, and I'm going to let you know I love you. I want to reveal myself to you. Father, today, I want to thank you that you see every one of us. You see the victories and you see the struggles. And I pray right now, Lord, there may be some unwed mothers out there that think that nobody cares and no one's paying attention. I pray today that you would let them know that you are the God who sees. Lord, whatever it is, reveal yourself to people today so that they can see that you love and care for them. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.